All right. This podcast is brought to you by Thompson Island Brewing. Thompson Island Brewing Company is an independent craft brewery and a local restaurant that celebrates the coastal Delaware lifestyle. Named after an island in the Rehoboth Bay, Thompson Island Brewing Company features a wood-fired grill for favorites that are reminiscent of beach picnics and bonfires. For more information, please visit thompsonislandbrewing.com. All right, this podcast is brought to you by LifeWork Bookkeeping Solutions, LLC. Call 610-324-6895. Bookkeeping for professionals and small business owners, personal finances, QuickBooks training. Give them a call. Thanks.
Beach chairs and blankets all loaded up. Banana boat duffel bag jammed with towels and all your lotion-y stuff. A whole lot of everything. Been stealing our time. But there's a place on the map where we can change that. At the end of that Highway 1 drive, wanna be the first set of footprints to feel the ocean dance with the sand while we're soaking up a catch your breath sunrise, living like young lovers again. Find a quiet spot that's been waiting for two castaways who don't wanna be found. No more demands for a big getaway plan made up of some just you and me. Running to Rehoboth Beach. Up on the boardwalk, beneath Dolly sign, we'll get some saltwater taffy and we'll share a big bucket of Thrasher's fries. You'll try to beat me at skee ball, then we'll shop the avenue and we'll take it all in. Wish it would never end. This escape's been long overdue. Wanna be the first set of footprints to feel the ocean dance with the sand while we're soaking up a catch your breath sunrise, living like young lovers again. Find a quiet spot that's been waiting for two castaways who don't wanna be found. No more demands, perfect getaway plan made up of some just you and me. Running to Rehoboth Beach. Running to Rehoboth Beach.
Man, that sounds like a wonderful place.
Yes, it does.
Well, welcome back. Because this is the Discovery. Nope, it's the New Delaware Live Music Podcast. We're going to have to work that title out because I keep forgetting what this damn thing's called.
You have to punch that one in.
Yeah, but it is about promoting small or local artists that perform in the area. And Solnoff, you've been doing it for a long time. So thank you for coming on the podcast again, actually.
My pleasure. My pleasure, man. Thanks for asking me.
How have you been?
I'm doing great.
How has the last couple of years been?
Not too bad. You know, it was a tough time for a little bit there But I actually liked having some of the time off myself. So
it was a nice.
I've never had extended time off like that. And I actually, I mean, I know it was terrible for the country, and I know a lot of people passed away and so forth. But for me personally, it did me some good.
Well, I think we're finding that out with a lot of people. I know even today my wife is sitting with us today because, you know, we're kind of resetting our life a little bit and kind of stepping back from the typical, you know, ducks in a line doing what we're supposed to do. Yeah. And now we're trying to adventure into maybe trying some new things together.
Yeah.
And putting a little bit more on family and less on stuff.
I totally agree. I couldn't agree more. And I think that's what I learned from it all was, you know, I'm always racing out the door trying to make a buck.
Yeah.
Always racing out the door. And so I remember one day specifically, and it was in March, so it was still chilly outside. But I never have a chance to just go sit outside and just chill, you know. And, of course, everybody's scared at that point.
Yeah.
You know, nobody – we really didn't know what was going to happen and so forth. But I'm just sitting outside on one side of my house where the sun comes up in the morning. If I sit on one side of the house, it could be 40 degrees out. But over on that side, it's a good 15 degrees warmer just the way the sun hits the house and reflects off the house. So I was sitting there. And I looked down, and there was this one little flower that had poked up through the pavement there, and it bloomed, and it was March, you know. It was still cold and everything. And I know this sounds crazy, but I was just thinking to myself, I would have never seen that
right,
if it hadn't been for COVID. And I know that's not a big deal, but it was a big deal that day. It was like there's all these things in nature. There's all these things in our family. There's all these conversations that we don't have. There's all these interactions that we don't have because we're racing out the door to make a freaking buck.
Yeah.
And it was like ding.
And we're all shooting for like 65 or something when we can retire, and that's when it's all supposed to kind of be awesome. And I'm like, we're really passing up a lot of great time right now.
That's right. That's so true.
Well, and I see a lot of folks that are retiring, and you know, and even in our family, you know, my dad's getting older, her parents are getting older, they're needing us more. It's like it's not a guarantee that you hit 65 and you just move to Florida and the rest of the life is just downhill from there. It's
it can be
more stuff going on than we expected.
That's right. Well, first of all, you're lucky to get to 65.
Right.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've had a lot of dear friends that have passed away in the last few years that are much younger than me.
Yeah.
You know, and not just from COVID, just passed away. Cancer, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So you better start enjoying the journey while you can. I don't care what age you are.
Well, and I think that's why, you know, we've been having, because I think, like you said, you know, we had a break.
Yeah.
The break was a little too long, baby. You know, it made us, allowed us to really think.
It was a little scary there for a minute.
It was a little scary, but my wife and I have been discussing, it's like, what's important, you know?
Yeah.
Working to pay for daycare, working to pay for insurance, or figuring out the ways to cut back, still getting insurance, but being able to be there more for our kids and stuff.
Right.
It's awesome.
Right. I agree with you, man.
Well, listen, I you know, I think we need to update that song because the dolly sign moved.
I know that. I know that.
And our beach is about 10 feet wide now. So it's not even just a race to be the first on the beach, but you need
I know.
We walked the beach the other day, and man, there was like, and it's sort of, you know, not for for the economics of the town, the economy, but it's something kind of cool to have 10 feet of sand and then all these great tide pools because all the kids are in the tide pools. The parents are like, listen, if you can play in there and not in those big waves, it feels a little bit better. But that isn't going to work as far as providing beach area for our visitors. But
no, it's early yet. We'll figure that out. But yeah, when they decided to take this dolly side down, I was crushed.
Where the dolly sign used to be.
Where the dolly sign used to be. That's right.
Well, it is. The town's always
changing.
It's like
a Hollywood sign coming down. I mean, really? You know?
It is like the Hollywood sign.
Really?
Yeah.
With 60 years of it being there. My God.
Yeah. I was like,
I still can't believe they couldn't figure something out.
Well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm on board with you. I don't understand how that couldn't have been worked out, but whatever.
Whatever.
It's the town's. And if you've lived here, how long have you been here, Saul?
Well, 60 years.
So you've born and raised?
Yeah, I grew up in Dover.
Okay.
But I've been coming down here a long time.
Yeah, so you've seen the changes. You've seen this town change from one to another.
Sure.
Restaurants come and go.
Yep.
Dolly sign comes and goes. You know, but people keep showing up, and it's
and they always will.
Yeah, our son David was he was out on the beach this weekend. They got stuck, right? And we're like, this is living at the beach. This is that. This is that fun stuff that happens, you know, hanging out with your friends out on the sand, driving out, getting stuck. A lot of great lessons being learned that I can't possibly teach. Let's talk about a little bit of your journey. I know you've been on the podcast before. We didn't even bring the guitar the last time.
No, we didn't.
But this one's about music. So,
Well, good.
I appreciate you bringing it. And but I think the first time I saw you was at the Rehoboth Beach Country Club. Are you still doing that gig?
Yeah. This year I don't think we made it back in. You know, they changed over management and
yeah,
so
C's
forth.
The
and C's a great dude.
C's
and
a great
Spaska
dude.
Is back, and she had me at Kings Creek for a long time. But we just didn't make it in there this year. It just didn't work. But my schedule fills up so quick that if somebody doesn't get on my schedule quickly, they don't get on.
Right.
You know. So I do like 250 dates a year. And
wow.
So, but then this year I decided, you know, to not go beyond that. So I kind of kept everything at 21 dates a month, and those dates filled up quick because I have, you know, I have a lot of vertical gigs. So I've got a Tuesday night at J.D. Shucker's in Georgetown, and I do Wednesday at the casino up in Dover at Jerry Longo's. And then I do Thursday at the J.D. Shucker's that's down here on 24, you know. So right away, you got 150 dates of the year gone, you know, just from those places. And so then it's trying to fill the rest in.
We made our first trip up to Harrington to Bones, the restaurant Bones, for your birthday. And, oh, what a great restaurant. Nobody was playing live in there, though. It might be an opportunity missed.
I don't have any dates to
you're
give.
You're done. Sorry. Well, that's cool. But that was our first experience up to the Harrington Fair. I guess we need to.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wants to follow you or figure out where you're playing, are you doing the social media, Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, they can always just go to my website. It's solknopf.com. SolknopF.com. So my schedule's always there. And then I have a band as well, and we do a Neil Diamond tribute show. And
have you played at the Milton Theater with that?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, we've done that. We're going to be back on August 21st there. That show's almost sold out.
The Milton Theater is really becoming quite popular for these kind of acts, whether it's the Neil Diamond, the Jimi Hendrix Experience has been through, Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
I think my buddy Ron Thompson played in that.
Great venue.
Yeah, they're really doing
it. We're talking Rehoboth Beach. We're going to do the bandstand, the Rehoboth Beach bandstand on Sunday, July 17th. We'll be there.
Yeah, that's a great fun. So, that's a fun gig.
So we're excited about that. I'm glad that.
Well, it is fun to finally come out of winter. You know, who knows what we're going to be looking at this summer with as far as, you know, the things in the past that have gone on. But I feel like this is our first real summer, a real official attempt at it, right?
Yeah.
We don't have everybody.
I think you're right.
And
but we don't have masks on and all that.
We don't have masks on and all that and outdoor seating. I don't know. Are they going to still do the outdoor seating? I'm not sure. I think they took all the barriers down.
Yeah. I know.
Well, whatever it is, we're ready to take it on, right?
That's right.
You want to do another song for us?
Yeah, might as well.
That's why you're here, buddy.
That's right.
That's what we're paying you for.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get a chance to say, because we were starting right into the show, Rehoboth Beach is a song that I wrote with my buddy Mitch Townley. He's in Knoxville.
Okay.
So we've written quite a bit together. And so I'm going to play this one because I think it's prescient, that I wrote with Scott Miller. He's in Washington, D.C., and a real good writer.
Can I just say real quick, though, listening to that song really took me on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that?
I did.
It was nice. Yeah. I mean, everything you talked about is exactly what we love about that area down there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, when Mitch and I get together to write, you know, we don't have any idea what we're going to write when we do, you know, over Zoom or Facebook Messenger live or video or whatever. And he kept coming back and saying, you know, I see that you're playing at this place called Rehoboth Beach, you know, tell me about it. And we would talk a little bit about it. And he said, you know, maybe one day we'll write a song about that. And I said, okay, whatever. Yeah, maybe. You know, and it was really Mitch's pushing me. And one day we just got together and I was like, I don't know what to write about. He said, we're going to write about Rehoboth Beach today.
Well,
it's going to be called Running to Rehoboth Beach. And I said, sure, let's do it. And that's, and we wrote. So Mitch Townley, you know, took my description of it and we put the lyrics together, and he's a brilliant lyricist. So we worked together and put that song together.
Well, I like how you talk about be the first to have the footprints in the sand, because if you've been to Rehoboth, Rehoboth rakes and preps the sand every day.
Yeah.
So it's like there is a point in the morning where there has, there's no footprints.
Right.
So that, that's what made me think about that. That was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And, TJ, the fellow that was, the mayor of Dewey for a little while. Why am I not remembering his last name? But he was the fellow that would do the aerial.
Yeah. He passed away.
And he just passed away a couple of years ago.
Well, was it Redley?
Redifer.
TJ
Redifer.
Yep.
Gosh,
great guy.
I can't believe it. You know, what? That's
he
what
was early in on the
older.
Drone game.
Yeah, he was early in that, and he would do those sunrise videos of Rehoboth and Dewey, and so he actually reached out to me, and I'd never met him before, and he said, "Man, I think he heard me doing like a songwriter in the round show at the Milton Theater." And he said, "Would you mind if I did a music video to that song?" I said, "Would I mind? Oh, my God, I would love for that." He said, "You don't have to pay me anything. I just would like to do it." So he went ahead and did a music video for it, including some of that, you know, that aerial footage and so forth. And but it was his first time kind of doing it, trying to sync audio up or video up with audio and the whole thing. And so he wasn't satisfied with how it was turning out, and I had some ideas for us to how we would improve it and so forth and so on. Well, the season came and went. We didn't get together. The next year, he ends up becoming mayor of Dewey. And, you know, he's running real estate and all this other kind of stuff. And then it was too busy for us to get back together again. And then I didn't even know he was ill, and then he passed away.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm going through cleaning my computer, and I ran across the video that he had created, and I realized I had never shared it with the world. No one had ever seen it. So I put it on Facebook just to share it, you know. And my God, it was like 100,000 views on Facebook, or, you know, 930 shares on Facebook. When does that ever happen? Nobody shares something like that.
Nice.
You know, and anyway, so
that felt good, I bet.
It did.
Yeah.
It did, because people got a chance to finally see it and see the work that he had done, and it was beautiful.
I never got to meet him, but we communicated a little bit back and forth, because I was doing a lot of drone stuff before, you know, I found out I wasn't really allowed to. You know, flying down the middle of Dewey Beach is not allowed. So I had to quietly put my drones away. But, you know, he inspired me. He inspired me. And I thought I just loved what he was doing. So that was awesome.
Go on YouTube and do a search for me and just put Solnoff Rehoboth Beach, and you'll see that video come up, and look at the work that he did. He did some really good work on that. And so we didn't get some of the synchronization of the, you know, so we didn't put a whole lot of me in video. It was just basically the beach and so forth. Then a little bit of me singing and stuff, and my wife was in it and stuff.
Very
so,
cool.
So
we'll
cold.
Have to look it up.
But this one, I just popped the thing there.
Sorry. We're low budget here.
We're low budget.
Dude, that high-end board will take the pop out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The song that I'm going to play now, I guess I'll go ahead and play it, is a song that I wrote based off of that situation where I was telling you we were sitting on the side of the house and I see this flower come up and everything. And just kind of the accumulation of the whole scenario of COVID and losing friends and so forth. And I just just basically realized that every day is a gift.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So that, and Scott Miller and I wrote this, it's called Every Day is a Gift. I don't think I've ever played it in front of anybody, so I don't know if I can remember the words, but will we worry? Always in a hurry, running late, just can't wait out the door, always wanting more, 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 can't relax. Not happy where we're at. Money, money, need more cash. Always seems like we're going nowhere fast. It's a trap, trap, trap. I had enough. I'm gonna stop for a second. Wake up and unwrap the
present. Every day's a gift, a beautiful surprise. Just close my eyes and listen to everything we're giving. The birds are singing, the flowers are springing. I'm lying on the ground, sun shining down. So glad to not be racing around these precious moments I don't want to miss. Every day's a gift. Ooh, every day's a gift. Ooh, my old man said it goes by in a flash. Gotta live each day like it's your last. Live each day like every day's a gift, a beautiful surprise. Just close my eyes and listen to everything we're giving. The birds are singing, flowers are springing, lying on the ground, sun shining down. So glad to not be racing around these precious moments I don't want to miss. Every day's a gift, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. So baby, how about you and me start to do some living? 'Cause every day's a gift, a beautiful surprise. Just close my eyes. The birds are singing, flowers are springing, lying on the ground, sun shining down. So let it not be racing around these precious moments I don't want to miss. I'm gonna cherish every second I get, 'cause every day's a gift. Every day's a gift. Ooh, every day's a gift. Mm-hmm. Every day's a gift, yeah.
Dude, that sounds like the conversation my wife and I had.
There you go.
That's exactly what we discussed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Let's take it on. This is, we don't realize what an amazing opportunity in life we're living.
It's so true.
That is awesome. Great message.
It's so true. So I think a lot of us are having that same feeling.
A lot of us are having that feeling.
You know, I mean, really. And I think, you know, when people say, oh, we've got all these jobs and kids don't want to work anymore, because they had a chance to sit back and say, well, do I really want to flip those burgers?
Well, you know? Kids do want to work. But us middle-aged adults might not. But the kids, you know, we laugh because, you know, my son David, he's working down at Casey's. Give them a shout-out.
Sure.
And, you know, I told him 3 years ago you'd have made $7 an hour. Now you're making 16.
Right.
I mean, they're like, hey. But the ones that used to make $7 an hour, they're like, eh, there's more to this life now.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
It's a balance, and the one thing that we discussed was, you know, what can we cut back on? You know,
right.
Do we need to eat out so much? Do we need? And unfortunately, you think through the chain, you're like, you know, but then, you know, we want to support restaurants. We want to support, you know, because we do live in a unique area. I said this the other day. Mm. If you went in 400 miles inland, it's not the same.
No,
you know,
not.
We're very blessed here. We're Disneyland without the castle.
Yep.
Our castle flows in on that 10 feet of beach that we got now under the Dolly sign. But that's
The Dolly sign, it's not there anymore.
Under the Dolly sign, it's not there anymore. But it is, you know. And yeah, I think it's a great message. And I think you're right. I talked to a buddy of mine. He's like, I'm trying to do the least amount of work as possible.
Yeah.
And just live my life and enjoy it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Now, it's a little bit different with me because I do what I love to do. So, but still, there is a law of diminishing returns, which is why I kind of put a limit on 21 days a month. I used to do 24, 25 days a month. And, you know, you start looking at the money, and you go, okay, there's extra so many days are going to equate to this amount of money, and you look that over the year, and that's a lot of money to give up. But I'm enjoying those days that I wasn't enjoying. And, you know, I was last year I was playing at Jerry Longo's at the casino in Dover. It's a little restaurant in there.
Good.
And there was a fellow, a friend of mine from New Jersey, that would come down and play on Wednesday nights. And a real talented guy and wonderful guy, about 10 years younger than me.
What's his name?
And right now I'm having trouble remembering his name right okay. now. But anyway, he would come down and play on Wednesdays, and then I would play on Thursdays. And so anyway, Dan Morrow. I don't know why I can't. My brain's just like.
That's because I asked.
10 seconds behind. It's Dan Morrow.
Okay.
And,
what's up, Dan?
Anyway, so Dan would play on Wednesdays. I would play on Thursdays. And in September, we both got COVID last year. And it killed him. It killed him. He turned 50 years old in the hospital on the respirator.
Away?
And it killed him.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, it's just all, you know, I'm trying to bring everybody down, but it's just every day is a gift because you don't know whether you're 80 years old or you're 50 years old like Dan was. You know.
No, man, the gig is up.
Yeah.
We are. Yeah, it's. I'm sorry for your loss, man.
Yeah.
That's tough because that's. You know, we lost, you know, my mom. You know, mm-hmm. we've in fact, something else is kind of weird is that we've lost a lot of people and we haven't really had a chance to, like, say goodbye.
I know.
You know, and we had this conversation with my dad yesterday. It's like, you know, we never even got to say goodbye to mom.
Right.
You know, she went in a home and then it's almost like she died but was alive. And then she died.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think a lot of people are. I know a lot of people are going through that, and it's not to be bring people down, but it's real. You know, it's an honest thing that we're experiencing. A lot of people lost folks and never even had a chance to, like, mourn them or say goodbye, and it's
right.
it's tough. So
right.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
That's I think we lost a lot of people that worked in the industry, whether they passed away or, you know, their careers almost.
Yeah.
You know, they're having to really dig them out and try to figure out how to make it work again.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, there was all kinds of different reasons why we wrote that song, but that, you know.
I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
And it sounds like that message was coming before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No doubt.
We just, COVID gave us the opportunity to really realize that there's a lot to be said in that message.
That's right.
So 21 days, it's funny, you think, oh, 24, 21, what's the big deal? But that is actually, that's when you add it all up, that's about 16-something extra days of mm-hmm. of doing. I'm not sure I did that math right, but
it's all good.
Yeah, it's like, but
it's all good.
You get some extra time.
That's right. That's right. So I'm trying to be more strategic about it. I'm trying to stay away from the kinds of shows that are real demanding, you know. And if there are some shows that are more demanding, I try to make sure that I have days off before those shows, and just trying to be more strategic and take care of myself a little better.
You want to finish the race, right? And you know. I talked about this on a different podcast, and we've talked about it. But, you know, as a guy at 53, I don't know how old you are. Maybe the same, a little older. But, you know, all the things that we grew up with are getting old.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. You know,
My
boy Eddie's getting old. I worry. Hang in there, Eddie. Cut back the tour, and we want to keep you. But then you know, John Bon Jovi's been in the news lately. He's got to be getting close to 70, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to Bon Jovi, and I was in... like a freshman.
Yeah.
So he's got
to be probably mid-60s, I would have to say.
Well, he's struggling a little bit. Yeah. And you're like, gosh, not Bon Jovi. I mean, he's been there for so long. So,
yeah, man.
You know, you have to take care of yourself because you want to keep doing this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll be 60 next Thursday.
Look good, buddy.
I mean, thank you. So, but I really work hard at it. You know, I know that you like growing, running and stuff like that. Running helps me. I try to get to the gym. Whenever I can get outside and get a little sun on my face, I get some sun on my face, you know.
Well, I've been struggling. You know, you brought the running up. I've been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sort of happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I look back over the years of running, and my biggest, longest periods of long runs and really at it were some of the, like, the saddest times of my life. You know, I kind of use it for me, not anybody else. But for me, it's a little bit of an escape, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know. I feel really good and I've it's hard for me to go for a ride. I have to like commit to people.
Yeah. Well, I'm not like a, I'm not one of those guys that's going to go out and run 10 miles or something like that.
Sure.
So I'll go out and I'll walk one and I'll run one and come home.
Intermittent. You know?
So yeah,
it's good.
So, but the for me, it's my, the clarity of mind and just and it helps expand my lungs and so forth. So when I'm when the weather changes and I can get a little bit of a run in, come back, lay out in the sun for about 15 minutes, let it sweat out, my vocal performance is so much better.
Well, I'm sorry we had to do this so early. It's like
it's all good.
The, one of the
it's all good,
one of
man.
The problems when I tried to do this podcast was before was everybody's like, you know, I'm performing till like 2 a.m. and it's hard for me to get up in the morning. Yeah. I'm like, so yeah. I think we're gonna if you know if we can get some other people on, we'll probably do some in the evening just to give them a break. So hopefully it's not too early for you. But
no, it's cool. It's all good for me, man.
It's a you know, one of the cool things, we do have a lot of restaurants. You're booked up, but you know, if a guy like the guy we had on last week who's just starting, you know, early Solnoff, you know, just getting his feet wet into the gig business.
Yeah.
We do have a great a lot of great opportunities for artists to perform.
We really do. This is a wonderful place to live and work as a musician. It wasn't always that way. When I started, it was seasonal.
Yeah.
And if you did, if you were fortunate enough to get any work down here, it was June, July, August, done.
Right.
You were done. And so most of my early career was in Dover. And I toured and did stuff like that early in my career with different bands and stuff. But when I started working solo, it was almost exclusively in Dover. And then all of a sudden, several years ago, I'm trying to remember how long ago it's been, but I became friends with Brian Clark, who plays down here. I'm sure you know Brian.
I begged him to come on. Yeah. We love Brian. We saw him perform at a, what's the Italian restaurant up in Ocean View? It's a steak restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name, but he's awesome.
He's just Irish eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's played all over, and he's just, he's like one of my favorite people in the world, and he's just so talented and so humble and a good friend. So anyway, at one point he was doing these shows out in Vegas, you know, and when he would leave, he would need somebody to fill in for some of the shows that he had here. He wouldn't lose those spots.
Right.
And so he said, man, would you fill in for me for some of these shows? And I had been having trouble getting booked down here forever because, you know, it's just, if you're not down here and you're not in the scene, it's really hard to break in. So, and this maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I can't remember exactly when. So I said, sure, I'll do that. And I went down and it was like, it went, whew. You know, I started playing at one place and then it turned into two and then it turned into three. And once you're down here, people see you and they're like, oh, why don't you play our place? And that's kind of how it started. So, you know, Brian was instrumental in helping me get booking down here.
Well, I think like with whether it's that job or any job, it's the consistency. You know, there's a freedom to what you do.
Sure.
You know, there's a,
oh my
you
God.
Know, you could, you know, I don't know how your day is, but you know, there is some freedom to working for yourself. And
Very much so.
I always say, listen, if you're going to work for yourself, plan to probably work harder than you would have if you had worked for somebody, because it's your ass is on the line.
That's right.
And your reputation. And fortunately, unfortunately, I don't know, but if someone doesn't show up to a gig, they mentally make a note of that. And
right.
So showing up and being there, love the guy we had last week. He's just starting. His wife and babies are in a booth next to the little stage. I mean,
aww.
It's a family, you know, they're rooting him on. And you know, that's why we started the podcast. Obviously, you're completely, you know, into the scene. But there's other guys coming along that, you know, if we can just let them play and we can hear them.
Yeah,
you know, we friends with the guys that own Missipillion Brewery. Have you ever played up there?
I have not.
You don't have any days left.
I don't have any days left.
You're done. No days left.
Next year.
Next year.
Oh my God.
But they're, you know, that they're
always
looking.
That does sound pretty ignorant for me to say that. You know, I was like, oh.
No, I think that's what it's smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, my wife and I were so funny. We're people pleasers. We will say yes to anything. And we will grind ourselves right into the ground, pleasing everybody. So I think it's important. I think that people have respect for someone that says, listen, I know what I do.
Right.
And this is what I do.
Right.
And you say, okay, I got it. I'll plan better next year.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to do that. You have to schedule out time for yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm. So you've been here, I mean, you know, the local thing, I mean, your whole life you've been here. We've watched, I've only been here since 94, but you mentioned it, you know, there was a time where, I don't know who the genius was that decided to move down here year round, but there really used to be a time where we were a summer town. You know, you lived in Milford or you lived in Dover and you came here for the summer.
Right.
I mean, there used to be a crowd of people that would wave all the people goodbye on the end, at the end of summer. It was over. Goodbye.
Get out of here.
But now we're a year-round kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we're finding, you know, summer isn't for us anymore. You know, winter, fall, that's our time to take advantage of all the great things that go along. Mm-hmm. You know, summer, we're not invited. You know, we have to stay out of town, you know.
Yep.
But when, but now we have an off season, and you know, you can really be a performer here year round. We see Sodell's putting up a lot of great restaurants. I forget, but like Crooked Hammock and Taco Rio. I think Billy wants to bring in some live artists as well over into Taco Rio. So it's really a great spot now.
Yeah.
So thank you for, you know, building that foundation.
I'm very fortunate to have been a part of it, you know. I just was fortunate.
Well, you know? The first time I saw you was at the country club. And like, what the hell's going on over there? It's like one man, but it sounds like an orchestra. And I'm like, look at this guy. And you've got drum machine. I don't know what was going on, but you're like the maestro of all this digital cool stuff. I think probably 20 years ago, it was a bit more pieces. Now it's it's almost like
now
an,
it's
iPad.
On an iPad.
Yeah, it's on the iPad.
Now it's on an iPad. And at, when I started doing this, would have been the early 80s. And, you know, you didn't have any of the technology.
No.
You know, we didn't have the computers
and
stuff.
You needed a van.
And so what I did was I bought a little four-track cassette recorder. And I learned all the instruments. And I started putting all my background tracks down myself, you know. And the only digital thing I had was Yamaha had a little drum machine that had just come out. It was the only drum machine, professional drum machine that was under $1,000. It was like $499. It was called the RX-15, and I learned how to program on it. So I would program all the songs. I had a little digital piano. I play the piano parts. I had a bass guitar, and I played all the bass parts. And I really learned a lot about song structure and how all the instruments interact and stuff by building all my background tracks. And then I would literally go out. I had a Nakamichi tape deck with a pitch control on it in case voltage was off in the room. And I would literally, I had, every cassette had one song on it. I had these little five-minute cassettes.
Wow.
So I would put the song in, Margaritaville, bang, ding, 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 you know, whatever. And it would be done, and I would take it out, put it in the cassette player in the bottom and hit rewind and grab one out of my case. The next song would be whatever, you know, Sweet Caroline or whatever.
Yeah.
And I, man, I mean, I went, my income went,
yeah,
you know, I was playing with these bands and barely making $300 a week. You know, my first week playing solo, I made $600 and I was like,
You're like, know, I got this.
I got this. You
well,
know?
And I remember seeing you, and I'm like, I don't know, that guy's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Well, and then you work through it, and now it's like iPad in hand, in one hand, guitar in the other.
Yeah.
I saw, is it Tyler Green? Is that his name? Yeah, Tyler.
He's Tyler Knox.
No, but there's a Tyler Green that's also playing as well.
Okay.
And we saw him down at Sydney's, and he's like, you know, boom, tick, tick, boom. You know, hits a couple things, and then he hits it on a loop.
Yep.
And then he just starts layering.
Yeah.
And then he gets about five layers going, and then he starts singing. I'm like,
it's amazing.
Yeah, and they don't give, you know, they make fun of these kids that are, like, great on iPads and great in technology. I'm like, they know a lot of stuff. You
they
know?
Do,
they
man.
Can really do a lot with what we are, with what's
so,
out there now.
So talented. Some of the people are so talented. My buddy Joey Fulkerson, who you really should have on here. Now, he doesn't do the beats and all that kind of stuff. He's just an incredible guitar player, and he can sing anything, and he's an extraordinary guitar player. And so he'll be just playing, and all of a sudden he starts soloing on top of what he was just playing, and he's just a master at it, you know. And I'm like,
seamless.
Yeah, and it is really difficult to use those loopers because if you don't hit it at the right beat, there's a gap, and it doesn't, you know, if it's not in time, And so, you know, I thought about doing that at one point, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that, you know.
Well, I think it's entertaining to just to watch somebody do it.
Yeah, yeah. I can get old if they keep building these songs and they turn it into 10-minute songs. Then it gets a little old.
Yeah, you get...
After you've done it five times in a row, you're like, okay.
Well, you get a little distracted. But you're like, how in the hell is he doing that? And you stop focusing on him performing. You're just like, what is this? All these layers. And it's almost like Pink Floyd. Yeah. It's awesome. You want to do another song?
Sure, sure. Well, it's... I imagine we're kind of wrapping up here, so...
No, we're not really wrapping up. Okay. I just want to hear you play more songs.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we do this for an hour. We got 20 more minutes. I just like to hear you play. So good.
Okay. Well, let's do... one of the things that I did during the quarantine, I wasn't just sitting on the side of my house watching flowers pop up. I was trying to figure out, well, how am I going to be... You know, after I... cleaned our basement or cleaned the backyard and got all those things done, you know, I was like, I need to be productive here. What am I going to do? And so I wanted to record an album but I was not in a good mental place for writing. You know, most people you would think would be, you know, just songs would be popping out like crazy. But for me, I went through this numb period where I just couldn't create. You know, it was all this not knowing what was going to happen and, oh, woe is me and that kind of thing. So, but I wanted to record an album. So my brother-in-law is the executive director at the Smyrna Opera House in Smyrna, Delaware.
Nice.
And, of course, it was shut down. But they've got this beautiful baby grand piano on their stage. And it just sounds so good. And I said, Brian, would you mind if I move my recording gear onto the stage there at the Opera House and record an album? He said, no problem at all. You know,
wow.
we'll make that happen. There's no worry about that. So they literally, I moved in there and, oh my God, I was there like 6 weeks, you know, because I had to learn all. And I decided I wanted to do a tribute to Neil Diamond. Most of the people that follow me down here especially love because my voice is kind of like his a little bit in that same range. And so I thought, I'm going to do an album for them and do a Neil Diamond tribute album for them. So that's what I did. I just set everything up and played the guitar parts, the bass parts, the congas, the acoustic piano. It was just a total acoustic deal. And I played all the parts. And then at the end, my buddy Dave Simmons, who plays drums with My Kinds and The Look, and we've been friends forever, he said, man, you know, if you want me to put some drums on some of these, I will. And some of them really needed it. So he came in and put drums on a few songs. And there were a couple that needed some harmony. So a friend of mine in Nashville, Marcia Ramirez, who has toured with some really famous people, and she's a great writer as well. I sent tracks to her, and she did some background vocals on a couple of them. So,
Do you have all your music on Spotify?
Everything's on Spotify, yeah.
Well, you know, that's good because we also do a Discovery Music podcast.
Is that right?
Yes, and that's with Dion Lamb and Trey Krause. I don't know, Trey owns Carlton's, Dion has CRX Construction, and then Jordan Gum is a friend of ours up in Pennsylvania, but we get together every week. And if a person has their music on Spotify...
Fame with that song.
Well, we'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
So... can you play another song? And then, can you do a Neil Diamond song?
Yeah,
too?
Let me.
But not Sweet Caroline.
No, I'm not going to do that.
I was at a bar or a restaurant down in Rehoboth 1 year, and I saw a guy perform that. It may have even been you. I'm not even sure.
Probably was.
But the crowd was so, they interacted so much with that song. They're like, she's a bitch. I was like, have you heard that version?
No.
It was really...
I've heard... Sometimes people will start doing that with me, and I'm like, what is that?
What are you doing?
You know, I've got 70 and 80-year-old people here. Don't be taking
that. Yeah, so I don't want to do that song, because then, you know, we'll start going, she's a bitch. But I'm a metal guy, big fan of Metallica, but I do love Neil Diamond.
Yeah, man.
That guy's voice is just... awesome.
Yeah, he you know, it's funny, there's some of his material was just so cheesy for me growing up, and now when we do our show, some of that stuff is really powerful for our band.
Very powerful.
You know, and but anyway, let me do this one because I tend to do this one quite a bit, and it's one that's not too tough for me to do it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
She was morning, and I was nighttime. I one day woke up to find her lying beside my bed. I softly said, come take me. I've been lonely, in need of someone, as though I had done someone wrong somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't know where come lately. You are the sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Play me. Songs she sang to me, songs she brang to me, words that rang in me, rhyme that sprang from me on the night. And what was rain became me. You are the sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Play me. And so it was, I came to travel upon a road that was formed and narrow. Another place, another grace would save me. The sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Play me. You are the sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Play.
That was beautiful.
Thanks, man.
That's on the. I just brought up your Spotify. You have Solnoff Radio.
I do, man.
That's awesome. That's pretty awesome. That's awesome. You put out some stuff. That's really cool. So if someone wants to, they can actually follow Solnoff Radio and get a nice taste of all of your music.
That's exactly right.
That's very cool. I will be bringing this on the podcast.
I appreciate it.
At least
man.
Play a song, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you want to finish it off with. Little Neil Young. I mean Neil Diamond, excuse me.
Another Neil Diamond
sure.
song?
Or what do you
Hmm.
Okay, so I'm gonna I was confused there. I was like, I didn't want to say this, but I thought that sounded like Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
And now it was a Neil Diamond song.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. Boy, that sounds so much like Neil Diamond. You should send that to Neil Diamond. He might be able to play that. I thought we were gonna finish with Neil Diamond. Ew.
That was Neil Diamond.
That sounded
buddy.
Just like it. Thank Girl. You. I'm like, God, that's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do another Neil Diamond.
Okay. All right. Let me think on it here.
Actually, you play what you want. I'm sorry. This is your show.
No. This is your podcast, dude.
Well, the reason I started it is because I found I could do a little less talking, and the guitar can play, and because I do enough talking on the other ones. This is about you. So whatever you want, just bring us. We'll wrap it up with one more song, Solnoff. So good. Thank you so much.
Let's see. Melinda was mine till the time that I found her holding Jim, loving him. And Sue came along, loved me strong. That's what I thought. Maybe I'll send him this song too.
Yeah.
Me and Sue, that died too. I don't know that I will, but until I can find me a girl who will stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am, solitary man, solitary man. I've had it to heal, being where love's a small word, part-time thing, paper ring. I know it's been done, having one girl who loves you, right or wrong, weak or strong. I don't know that I will, but until I can find me a girl who will stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am, solitary man, solitary man. Solitary man, solitary man, oh, oh, oh. Solitary man. Mm-hmm. Solitary man.
Now we know that was an original. I apologize.
That's all good,
such a
brother.
Dumbass. Well, anyway, listen, man. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
If thanks. You know anybody that wants to come on, or if you got some ideas, you want to come back and play with somebody, the door is always open. This is what this is about. Listening to people perform, and
thank you.
Great voice, great playing. The guitar sounded awesome. So thank you.
Thanks, brother. This is a 1945 Gibson J45.
Dude, that's sweet.
Beautiful. I tell you what, I got a. What do I have? What's the good guitar?
Martin.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather passed on to me, and it just hangs in the damn rack. I never play it. I feel so bad. Maybe I'll have to
get back to playing it, man. It's screaming for you.
Well, or maybe I'll just lend it to you to make it sound beautiful.
I could do that too.
All right, brother.
Thank
well,
you,
they, so what's your website? Solnoff.com?
It's Solnoff.com, Solnoff.com.
And that's the same thing for your Spotify. I just looked it up.
Yep.
Check out Solnoff Radio. That's
right.
Pretty awesome.
And if you're interested in the Neil Diamond Show, it's SolnoffBand.com, and that's where our schedule is for the band.
Do you anything coming up soon?
July 17th at the Rehoboth Beach Bandstand.
Okay.
And then August 21st at the Milton Theater.
So is that going to be at the Bandstand? Is that going to be the Solnoff Band? Is that
Solnoff Band doing our Ultimate Diamond tribute show.
Oh.
Same thing with the Milton Theater.
Mark that on our calendar. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.